This is sheer number nine. Oh, and with it, we're going to try to sort of cover a lot of ground in a very, very short amount of time. We're not going to go as in depth, but I just want to really catch up basically all of the Gemara from Daf Gimel until the top of Daf Vav, minus two important sugyas. The one about the definition of, let's say, elongated melachos. We're going to leave those on the side for now. But in terms of the definition of Akira and Hanacha and Chilif Rishios, right, these few dapim really cover a lot of Yesodos. But what really is bothering the Gemara, and what the Gemara is really trying to do, is figure out, okay, every Otsa is an Akira, Hanacha, and a Chilif Rishios. Right, you do Akira and Rishus HaYachid, you should go into Rishus HaRabim, and then you put it down. Which of those is really the core mechayiv of Hotza? What really makes Hotza Hotza? Is it that you were oker mimkomo, that you brought it to, that you changed its Rishus, or that you put it in somewhere new, and that somewhere new is meaningful and useful? Okay, so is it the Akira, is it the Hanacha, or is it the Chilif Rishus that really makes a Hotza a Hotza? Okay, so the Gemara on Daf Gimel, where it tries to explain why certain things are in the Mishnah, says that, you know, Akira, that Pturi, the Asi Behuli de Chiyuv Chatos Kachashiv, only the Pturim which will bring you to a Chiyuv Chatos are getting counted. So what does that mean? So it could be practical or fundamental. If it's practical, which is what Rashi says, then it's a question of, right, what really should you not be doing because that can lead you to a Chiyuv Chatos. In our case, says Rashi, the Akira. If you pick up the object, you could always end up putting it down in Rishus HaRabim, right? Especially if you're picking it up to give it to the Ani. Right? So if the Ani sticks his hand in and you put it into his hand, you're Pater. But if the Ani kept his hand outside in Rishus HaRabim, then you'd have been Chayiv, right? So the difference there is very, very slight. Your action could then could be done in a way which will end up getting you Chiyuv Chatos. So don't do the Akira, right? However, other Shittos, particularly, right, Tosfos says no. It's not the fact that, oh, in this case, it can, you know, practically it can end up leading to a Chiyuv Chatos. It's what is the Machayev? What really makes Hotza Hotza, right? Is it either the Havaras Rishos is one option. So it says, oh, whoever broke the plane of the Rishios, he's the one who transferred and changed the location of the object. You're right that every Hotza needs to be bracketed by an Akira and Hanacha, because I need to be able to say, oh, it started here and it ended up there, and therefore transferred, right, in the middle. But what really matters is the fact that it changed Rishuyos. Okay? Or it's the Hanacha, right? What really matters is the Hanacha, because the Hanacha is the toelas, it's the purpose of doing Hotza, is to get it somewhere new. Okay? So how much do we see it as the fact that you were okay the object from its original location? That's what's transformative. Is it the fact that now it's somewhere new, right? Somewhere new and useful? Or the fact that you've changed Rishuyos and it's actually more human-centered with the fact that, right, you have two, there's Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, there are different domains in which people operate, and now you're interacting with both, okay? Especially if you take the more minucha or os bris, the idea that you're supposed to, right, be creating a day of minucha, as we saw in the Rambam, that it's supposed to be made to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not working today, then dafka, the Chilif Rishus, is the most important part, because that's the bit that's most connected to, right, engaging in economic and public activity. Okay. Right, so already there, right, the question is the Akira, because you're moving it from its place, the Hanacha, because that's where it's getting somewhere new, or the fact that there's a Chilif Rishus, that the object was in Rishus A, now it's in Rishus B. Okay. Right, and that's something we really see in the different Rishonim, right? Ritva, over here is the one who says Akiras Chifetz Mimkomo is the Ikar, right? You're Uker from its place. You've changed its location, and that's what's really transformative. Okay, so this Gufa ties in very nicely also to what we talked about previously about, right, what's Hotza as a Malacha all about. Here we're saying it not in terms of the general perspectives, but in terms of the actual maisim, the maisa of Hotza, what part of the maisa of Hotza really, really changes and is machayev. Okay. Now, on a secondary level, the question is, right, what counts as an akira or as hanacha. Okay, it's one of these, right, there are these three different elements, but what does it mean for something to be nekar? What does it mean for it to be munach? The Gemara continues, talks about both is akiras gufo kakiras chayfetz. Let's say you are holding something and then you start walking. So in general, it's a, does that mean that the object is being nekar? On the one hand, it's moving physically. On the other hand, it is still sitting in your hand. Right? How much do we view it from the perspective of the object? How much do we view it from the perspective of what are you causing? So you're definitely causing the object to come into a new rishus that it wasn't in before. On the other hand, right, the object is actually sort of still resting in your hand. Is that nakira? So definitely we think that it is. But what if you had a parallel to that? Right, because here the whole point is that always the human is the one who is causing the hutzah. But let's say I replaced the person with either, let's say I threw the object, okay? Kluta kimishon chadami is a big question. Rabbi Kiva Savar, kluta kimishon chadamia. Rabbanan Savri lo, meaning kluta kimishon chadamia. Okay, Rabbi Kiva goes so far as to say that as long as the object passes through the airspace of, you know, of a different rishos, then we see it as if it is located in that rishos, and it's munach there. Why, right? On the surface, that really should not be true, right? It's flying, it's not resting. So, interestingly enough, Rabbi Kiva seems to think that what really defines hotzah is actually, right, the change in the GPS coordinates. It's not about the object being stationary in a specific place. And therefore, if I can say, it changed Rishuyos, Yushami actually is right, Rabbi Kiva says by Gittin, in order to, for her to be Mugureshes, the get needs to land in her Chatzer, but for Shabbos, it just needs to pass through their space. Klutik Mishoncha. Why? It's because by get, the point is she's supposed to be Kone, as opposed to by Hotza, right, it doesn't need Vinatan Biada, it needs Lotasa Komlacha, Vinasis Himeileha. Right, the hotzah happens by itself, essentially, in terms of the kirva hanacha. But what really matters, the malacha, is the bit where it changes rishios. And therefore, since the change in rishios happened, okay, you know, how do I evaluate the fact that it's, is it really in that rishios? So I could say, oh, it's physically resting on the karaka there, or I can say it's in the airspace, and that's already good enough. So Rabbi Kiva, because he really emphasizes the shinui rishos, he doesn't actually really need an actual akira, an actual hanacha. He just needs to say, oh, right now it's in this rishos, right now it's in that rishos. Okay, the Gemara also suggests that you could distinguish between akira and hanacha. Right? Maybe you'd only say kluta k'mishon chadami for akira or for hanacha, which ties in beautifully with that the concept we were mentioning before of, okay, how much is it about being okira from one place or about getting it to a new place. If it's all about, you know, the hanacha, if the ikar is the hanacha, so then actually, right, maybe you need a real hanacha, but for the akira, you could say kluta, or the opposite. If it's all about akira as chifetz mimkomo, the important thing is to say that it's no longer in its original place, right? Now, in order to say it's not in its original place, it also needs to be somewhere else. But in order to say that, oh, it's somewhere else, maybe kluta, kimishon chadami, is sufficient. Umatzkan, right? The Chachamim argue on Rabbi Kiva, and we say, no, now you need a hanacha, and not only do you need a hanacha, you might need a hanacha al makum dalet al dalet. Now that's interesting, because that's the other extreme. Right? It's not just a question of, oh, you know, is the object changed location, but we need it to be in a very specific place with specific boundaries, and it to really be resting there. Maybe we need it to be permanently resting there. The Rambam says the reason why you need dalet al dalet is because you need it to be permanently resting there. And if it's smaller than that, right, there's a good chance it'll fall. So we don't even view it as being physically at rest, as permanently at rest. Tosos, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, says it is at rest, but that's not what's happened in the Mishkan. It's not chashuv. If it's not on a place of a decent size, then you don't have a real maisa chashuv of hanacha. Right? The hotzah sort of happened in a, you know, in a, like a backhanded manner. It wasn't in place A, now we moved it to place B. Okay, so it's not that the chisaron is in the physical properties of the hotzah, but in the conceptual properties of the hotzah. It's not chashuv. The Ri, however, says something very interesting. The Ri says, al yete ish mimkomo, Mashma deka inami achifetz, klomar mimkomo shel chifetz, right? Al yete ish mimkomo, right? The pasuk that is both Tchumen for Rabbi Kiva and Hotzah for the Rabbanan, is also applying al yotzi ishmim komo, but it means that the chifat needs to be in a makom, right? It's not just about the physical action, right? Most malachos are about the physical action that you're doing, right? What you're accomplishing. Here, it's all about like the mitzias that the chifetz was in location A, and we're moving it to location B. And in order for that to be true, the malacha requires that there it be a makom of dalet al dalet, and be a chash of makom. Okay, so we're not talking about it's a chisaron in the maisa. We're saying that the entire nature of hotzah is about this move, it be the object leaving its place, right, and going to a new place. Right? Everything's supposed to basically be stationary on Shabbos, right? More in a metaphysical sense, but right, things are supposed to be at rest, menucha, shvisa, and therefore this object is not being shoveis because it is moving to a new location. Right? So it's not that the maisa is not chashuv if you don't have dalet al dalet. It's that the melacha by definition requires a transfer from place A to place B so that we can be yotzi mimkomo. Because the melacha is being yotzi mimkomcha on Shabbos, which is neged shvisa. Okay. So just like one final case that kind of brings this all together is the idea of the Gemara on daf hey amun bet of egos al gabi mayim, right? Live hainu hanachaso, by rava, egos kli v'klitza al gabi mayim, basar egos al zlinan v'hanayach, odilma basar kli al zlinan v'halonayach. Teku danaydi. The chakir that Rava brings is essentially, let's say you have a walnut. You put it in the water. So it's on the water. So on the one hand, it's physically resting on something. On the other hand, it's floating. It's moving. On the other hand, that seems like, you know, that shouldn't be a hanacha because it's still moving. But let's say it was moving, but it's physically resting on a kli. On the one hand, it's not stationary. On the other hand, it has a hanacha, right? Maybe it's in a new makom. The more we want to define hotzah and the hanacha of a hotzah as being physically at rest, then perhaps, okay, it's physically, it's still moving, right? It's still in motion. On the other hand, right, subjectively, in terms of relativity, it's resting entirely on the kli. It's physically on the kli, right? It has a mugdar makom where it's staying right now. I moved it from place A to place B. So do we say there, oh, yeah, that's really going to count as hotzah, right? How much is hotzah about, oh, the GPS coordinates? In which case, I can either say, oh, well, it changed rishiyos, or actually, no, right? It doesn't have stationary GPS coordinates right now because it's sitting on a kli that's floating. On the other hand, in terms of its the object being yotze mimkomo, maybe I can really say it's on the kli might be floating, but the object is clearly safely placed in the kli. Maybe that's going to be hotza. Okay, so the Gemara is really just going through a lot of different permutations of the idea of Akira and Hanacha and Shinu Roshos. A, which of them is the most important? Right, which is the Pturi di Yavoli Dechi of Chatas. And number two is, how do you do them? Right, is it about the physical movement? Is it about the metaphysical movement? Right, the Chi al Yetse Mim Komo, the fact that it's changed its location? Is it the Shinui of the Roshos versus the Hanacha or the Akira? And whether or not I can say that, oh, Hanacha then maybe it's just Kluta, or Ben Azai who says Mahalech Komed, right? Someone who's walking, it's as if he's stationary, it's as if there's a Hanacha there. And finally, the questions of, so you have your hand, does your hand go after your guf? Right? Physically, your hand is wherever your hand is, but in terms of the system or the function, the makomo of your hand really goes with your body. And in terms of Shadinofo basar ikaro, by a tree. Do you say like the branches of a tree are rooted by the trunk, by the roots? Or do we say, well, you know, GPS coordinates wise, the object is here? So the Gemara really is mipalpel back and forth about all those different cases. And I think they really, again, tie into what we were talking about, is how much is a hotzah creative malacha, right? You're changing the object, you're doing something to the object. Or how much is it a constructive malacha, which is you're accomplishing something, and then the measuring stick, which we're going to use for which is the most important of Akira, Hanacha, and Shin Roshos, and the question of how do we define an Akira, how do we define an Hanacha, are all going to depend on those questions. Is it a creative malacha or is it a constructive malacha? And again, as we said, according to Tosos, where it's a constructive malacha without being a creative malacha, right? And unlike the other malachos, so then we're going to define things much more along the lines of a real aim towards what you're, let's say, accomplishing, right? What you've done as part of the malacha, independent of the, let's say, the conceptual formalistic properties that we otherwise would have imagined. That being said, right, the fact that we're dealing with the Maisa Malacha as opposed to, you know, why is it a Malacha at all, could be that, okay, right, at the end of the day, we still have these very, we're still going to define the Malacha based on, oh, there's an Akira, what's an Akira? Okay, what's an Akira always? All right, what's Hanacha? For something to be at rest, can we ignore the physical properties and say, oh, Klit Gmishan Chadami? So all that's going to tie, could just be a general problem of, at the end of the day, our Hagdaros have to fit with what makes sense, even though conceptually we would say, ah, but it's a constructive malacha, so I've accomplished this constructive thing, or I didn't accomplish the constructive thing, but I did all of the formal aspects of the malacha. Okay, we're going to pick up with the Dalad Roshiyos and defining what's Rosh Siachir, which is Rosh Sarabim, and what those tell us about Rotsah next year.